The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundations of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I want everyone for just a moment to think back to their early childhood. And I'm sure as you reminisce, you can think of times when we either had stories read to us, or better yet, we can recall the times when our grandparents would sit with us and tell us stories that they either made up or that had actually happened to them. Either way, these stories would captivate us and lead us to say, "Read us some more," or "Tell me another story." We couldn't get enough, and as the old familiar expression would go, we were all ears. Oftentimes, we would repeat these stories word for word. My grandchildren, prior to the time that they were able to read for themselves, if they saw pictures of a story that had been read to them, they would have little or no trouble reciting all the words of the story back verbatim. They were also all ears. Children hear everything, good and bad, and sometimes without warning, they repeat the things that they hear at the most inappropriate times. Sometimes they understand what they hear, and sometimes they don't. But as we age, the stories that we hear become more sophisticated, and the level of our understanding increases as well. Sometimes stories are easy to process, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes as adults, we hear and truly comprehend all, but sometimes what we hear cause us to have that deer in the headlights look about our faces. When I was a young man, all of 18 years old, I left my home in New York and went to a small college in the territory now known as Nebraska. Now, coming from New York, I thought I had heard, and worse yet, I thought I knew everything. I worked for the mailroom on campus with several older retired post office employees. And back then, I used to talk just a little different than I talk today, you know? And for some reason, I was given the name Brooklyn. The guys there had a blast picking on me on a near daily basis. And so one day, the leader of the pack, a gentleman named Ray, says to me, "Hey, Brooklyn, have you ever eaten Rocky Mountain oysters?" To which I instantly responded, "No, I had not." The next question he asked was a rather simple one. He says, "Why not?" Now, here comes that sophisticated New Yorker responding. I said, "No, I can't eat them because I'm allergic to seafood." Now, those of you who are laughing, which is very few, know what Rocky Mountain oysters are. And if you don't, you can ask those who laughed or you can ask me afterwards. But as I said this, all of the old men were laughing so very hard that one of them I thought was going to have a heart attack because he couldn't catch his breath. He was laughing so hard. Here I was. I thought I had heard everything, and I thought I knew everything. And obviously, I knew absolutely nothing. So on to the Jewish people of Jesus' day. See, great teachers and great prophets oftentimes captivated their audiences by the stories that they told. And Jesus was no exception. Many of the folks that he spoke to were unable to read, nor were they able to write. They were not sophisticated people by any stretch of the imagination. They learned through the stories that they were told. They lived and regulated their lives based upon the spoken word. Faith was passed down by word of mouth. They were all ears. It was important for them to not only hear, but to understand every word that was spoken to them. Yet oftentimes, as we see in the Gospels, Jesus' words caught them by surprise. They did not understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. And as we saw from last week's gospel and this week's gospel, Jesus often spoke in parables. And he said to them, "How fortunate you are, as your eyes have seen and your ears have heard." Today, Jesus teaches more about the kingdom of God in today's gospel. And he closes with the words, "Whoever has ears ought to hear." So why did Jesus use parables? What was he trying to do? Just confuse all those people around him? In Matthew's gospel alone, there are almost 30 different parables recorded. But Jesus knew full well that not everyone was going to understand what he was saying. But it's important for us to know what a parable is. A good definition that I found says, "It is a metaphor or simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought." So what do we hear in today's gospel? There's three different short parables, but all three point to the kingdom of God and are instructive to us. Similar to last week's gospel, we hear about the seed again in this week's gospel. Jesus tells us about the good seed that was planted in the field, but while the farmer slept, others came into his field to destroy it by planting amongst the good seed some bad seed. They knew that the rotten seed would be growing up alongside of the good seed. Jesus' audience, mostly farmers, understood this story very well. They could visualize easily what it was and what crime was going on to someone else's property for the purpose of sabotaging their crops. See, now, unlike this city boy, my friends in Nebraska, as well as the folks in Jesus' day, would know that bad seed or weeds might resemble good wheat, so that they would not be easily distinguishable until harvest time. Bad seed could become a poisonous weed, and if harvested along with the good wheat and ground into meal, it would cause people to become violently ill and would ruin that reputation of that farmer and thus affect his livelihood. What Jesus is pointing out in this parable is that the devil truly exists and that he continues to sow evil in this world even today, at a time when some of us who call ourselves Christians may be asleep. This evil continues to grow alongside good folks, and it's oftentimes it is hard to distinguish between the two, and sometimes it has a negative effect upon good folks. Jesus in this parable states that rather than run the risk of pulling up the weeds and dividing them from the good wheat, must wait until harvest time, and thus the good wheat could be distinguished from the weeds, even though they would grow up side by side. The farmer would harvest his wheat and the weeds, and he'd take the weeds off for burning, and that seeds would not reproduce other weeds in the future. Now, God could easily choose to separate us from all the evil that goes on amongst us as we live today, but instead he allows us to grow up with evil being present to only separate us later at judgment time, where evil will suffer everlasting punishment. It is only God who can properly judge whether we are wheat or whether we are weeds. God provides for us, though, the necessary tools we need in order for us to stay alert and to boldly tackle the evil which surrounds us. He provides us his word, his Eucharist, and all the remaining sacraments. Excuse me. We are called to be the good seeds active in our life today. I had a discussion with my daughter the other evening, and we were reflecting upon things that she's going through discernment with regard to her profession and the things that I remember encountering when I was in her similar shoes. I recall back to a time when I was studying psychology in college, and everything that was written about psychology then and about what constituted psychological illnesses or grave disorders, all of those things are normal today. And if you say anything about those things today, you're criticized, you're ostracized, and you may even be imprisoned because, again, those words that were used 45 years ago just don't apply today. And that's the same thing that has happened even within my profession of law. When I first started studying law 40 years ago, things that were considered crimes are no longer crimes. Things that you would be punished severely for are no longer punishable offenses. And yet, if you claim or strike out against that, or if you claim that these things should still be the way they are, again, you are ostracized, you're criticized, you're silenced, and Lord knows with social media what happens to you today. Even within our families, our schools, our workplaces, and yes, right here at the church, things are changing. In our schools today, children can receive contraceptives without their parents' knowledge. Children can't even get their teeth cleaned by a dentist's office without parental permission. But yet they can receive the most damaging things to their health and to their bodies without parental permission. And don't get me started on the pronoun situation that is applying today and this whole issue about whether children have a right to go ahead and not have their parents know about what's going on in their schools. It's just appalling. Our actions will have an effect upon us becoming the living witnesses of our faith. Yet we are called to boldly stand by our faith, to continue to step out and to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. We are called to be the living witnesses today. And it happens everywhere. We need to boldly proclaim the truth in our workplaces. We need to boldly proclaim the truth in our schools. And yes, we need to continue to boldly proclaim the truth right here in church, because there are some bad weeds growing up amongst us. I will remind all of you that we will be tempted to do things and not do things that we should do. We are called to lead by our example. We are constantly called to be that good seed, fed by his word and fed by his sacraments, so that we can go out to the world and boldly proclaim that truth. The closer you get to Jesus and his word and his sacraments, the more attacks that are going to come. Even in our society today, there are various states that are trying to outlaw the Bible because they say that the Bible promotes hate speech. It's unbelievable. All this has happened in the past 40 to 50 years, and it's only going to get worse. I have no doubt, though, that you who are teens, you who are sitting here as well, are called upon to be the leaders in our society. God will honor that if you proclaim his truth, if you speak and become that good wheat. So I now ask you, my brothers and sisters, are you all ears to hear God's word, or are you going to listen to the words of our society and what it teaches? Do we properly incorporate prayer into our lives? Do we spend more time praying to God than complaining to God? Do we spend more time listening to what our Lord is trying to say, or do we pay attention to what others are trying to lead us to do? Let those who have ears hear what God is calling us to do. Be that good seed. Grow into that fine wheat. God is calling each of us now into action, and he wants us to choke out the weeds that are growing up alongside of us. Now, I don't mean that physically. You do that to other people, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, do not pay attention to those people. Do not listen to those words. Let not those words grow in your heart. Let not those words grow in your mind. Stick to the truth. And with that, we hope to enjoy everlasting life in his kingdom, not in this kingdom. Amen.